Welcome to Church of Living Word, featuring Senior Pastor Audie Claremont.
About love this morning, God's love. You know, I had something else in mind, and then it's funny how the Lord will switch everything over. And there's times I've had a message done, and he said, nope, oh, okay, and switched it. But live a life of love, living the life of love. We're going to talk about different, we've talked about the different kinds of love before. But I want to expound on some of the different meanings of agape love, God's love. And so this morning, let's look at a few of these things. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your presence, for your spirit, for your glory in this place. We thank you so much. And Father, we worship you with all that's within us. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive everything you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture we're going to be using is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Everybody calls it the love chapter. Dinah, don't let me forget at the end to make sure we talk, bring that up about the blessing. Clipboard, yeah. It is, okay, all right. The Corinthian church was kind of like, it was the Corinth was a port city. It would be kind of described like San Francisco would be with a port city, a lot of different things coming into that port all over the world. So I called Corinth kind of like the melting pot. I mean, you had every ethnic group, everything you could think of coming in to Corinth. Remember when we took communion? We talked about in communion, we talked about the people were not waiting on each other. They were getting drunk and all the different things, and they weren't honoring the Lord's body. And Paul said, that's why many of you are weak and sick and die before your time, because you don't discern the Lord's body or understand what Jesus did for us or what was in the bread and the wine, the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. And so Paul, after chapter 11, he's going into chapter 13. And they were operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and they were just fleshly and carnal Christians. And, you know, I hate to say, that's no different than today. But Paul addressed some things to the Corinthian church about if you're going to be operating in the gifts of the Spirit and you don't have love, then you're just sound like a tinkling cymbal or someone beating on a gong, because there's no harmony, there's no unity, there's nothing there. And so we're going to look at a few things. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love, agape love. Now we're talking about the love that God puts within you, but it's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. We're going to break this down. We're going to talk about this. The Passion Bible says, love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others, never takes failure at defeat, and it never gives up. That's God's love. Where would we be today if God never loved us like that? Think about that. Thank you, Father, for your love and your compassion and your mercy that you had on us when we were astray in the world and the pleasures of the world. But the first one I want to talk about is love bears all things. It bears all things. Now, when we look at this word, now other places in the Bible, the word may mean something different. If you look up bears in about, there's probably two or three different meanings for that in a Greek text or whatever. But when we look at this, it bears all things. The word is that word stego, which means roof. I know you're looking like, what roof? What's that got to do with roof? We'll talk about that. But when we look at the word bear, we sometimes look at it as hardships of any kind. And you know what it is. That's what it means in other words. when we look at the word beareth, or we look at it as it's something that you're under so much pressure and circumstances that you just bear the load. Well, Paul's not talking about that word here. He's talking about something different. He's talking about that word right there, which means roof. Let's look at this. What Paul is saying, people, is that love covers all things, like a roof covers the house. Okay? 1 Peter 4:8, let's look at this. Above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins. It forgives and disregards the offenses of others. If we truly love, we will forgive each other, and we will forgive each other's offenses. Now, that's God's love. The world love, it's up and down. It doesn't really mean anything because you can say with your words, but you don't follow through with the actions. But God's love is totally different. It disregards the offenses. It forgives. It lets it go. So if we truly are going to have God's love, which is shed abroad in our hearts, this is what we have to do. Did I say it was easy? No, it's not easy. It's hard sometimes. It's hard sometimes when you've been hurt, you've been wounded. But see, God's higher love is way above what we feel or what we see or what we experience. So remember, it's sometimes I have to pray, Lord, I need your love. Well, I know his love's already there. But sometimes I have to check myself and say, I really need your love in this situation, your love, because human love just doesn't last. Mom, and we know there's different words for love in so many different ways. But we're talking about a love that's higher than our love or human love. So love covers, like a roof, a multitude of sins. What's that mean? We look at the scripture, we read this scripture. The Passion says this, above all, constantly echo God's intense love for one another. For love will be a canopy over a multitude of sins. See, this is what it means, people. Love does not focus on what is wrong, but will bear with the shortcomings of others. It doesn't focus on the wrong, but it bears the shortcomings of other people. Does that make sense? It keeps out resentment as a ship keeps out water or the roof keeps out the rain. And like a roof protects and shields, you could say that love springs no leaks, okay? It's a safe place that offers shelter, not exposure. And we'll talk a little bit about this. Forgive me. I was fine, and yesterday I went to a couple clubhouses in Elsie. The Diamondbacks have one, and another biker group ladies got another one. They bought a building. Anyway, Candy and I had went to visit them and went in there, and I'm allergic to smoke, trust me. If I walk by it and I smell it, this is what happens. But anyway, I didn't stay that long because I had to get out and get some air. But anyway, okay, I'm ready. Are you with me? It has the thought of protection, okay? Love puts up an umbrella for others. Did you get that? To cover with silence is what it means. To keep secret the errors and the faults of others. That means it doesn't expose the errors or faults of somebody else, but it keeps them under a roof. Isn't that amazing? It doesn't focus on the shortcomings that we have, but it covers the person. It doesn't go and say, well, did you hear what so-and-so did? You know, so-and-so is doing this, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't do that. It covers them. Love covers a multitude of sin. It protects them. It doesn't expose them. It doesn't just let it go out there. It takes the best and kindest views of all men, all circumstances, as long as it's possible to do. Amen? Like the roof of a house, a friend who moves in the agape love of God will stay near in times of trouble. That friend will hover over you to protect you from the storms of life rather than expose you and your flaws to the view of others. A person who operates in this kind of love will conceal, cover, protect you. For real agape love is always there in times of trouble to lend support. That's what that one word means. Bears all things. Love bears all things. And when we talk about all things, it means no matter what happens, no matter the circumstances, people, with other people, no matter how tragic, unpleasant, or beautiful, the love of Jesus has something to say about those circumstances or people and the power of the Holy Spirit and what he wants to bring to them. Amen? That's what that is. That is what the word bears means. The reason why that Paul was talking about this is because, remember we talked about the Corinthian church. The church was dealing with personality. How many know that we have all different personalities? We're not all the same, so forgive each other. Okay? They had comparisons and people misuse in the church. All their Jew and Gentile fractures of race and customs, all the beliefs, worldviews, actions, all this thing opposing the gospel of Jesus. Now, in Corinthian church, regardless how impatient, unkind, thank you, envious, rude, arrogant, or irritable they or their neighbors have been, no matter how misguided, with ambition, violence, drunkenness, sexual misuse, or how puffed up with religious pride in their gifts of speaking, knowledge, faith, and sacrifice. You know what? The love of God goes there. Amen? The love of God goes there. So that's why it says to bear with one another, because God's love is stronger than anything. God's love is able to penetrate areas that I don't know how many words we can say isn't going to do that. But God's love will change lives. The next one is love believes all things. It believes all things. It means to think to be true, to be persuaded of, to give credit to place confidence in. The word believes is actually the word pistuo, which means this. It's a word that means to put one's faith or trust into something or someone. Well, that person burned me. I'll never trust him again. Now listen, I understand forgiveness is one thing and trust can be another thing. It does take time to build trust, but it doesn't say I'll never trust anybody again. It doesn't do that. And how many of us have been wounded and hurt and have been in a place that we said, I'll never trust another person again? And that's what Paul's talking about. We've all said it, but God didn't let us stay there. God worked on us, and God worked in our heart and said, he can't do that because that's not his love. So it doesn't mean that you just say, oh, you know, whatever will be, will be. You forgive them, but at the same time, some things need to be built, and the Holy Spirit knows how to do that. This is a constant, continuous entrusting of one's faith in something or someone. It involves a never give up. Everybody say never give up. It's a never give up kind of belief that something will turn out for the very best. We don't look at the worst in somebody, but we look through God's eyes that the very best is going to happen in that person's life. How many times have we said, golly, man, that person's never going to get it. They said that about me too. that person is just a lost cause. Not God's eyes. Amen? Oh, my golly. Right, Dave? God's mercy and grace. Amen. Dave was one of those guys that I would keep running into. Well, in fact, I did his wedding. And I'll never forget this. Everywhere I'd go, Daryl would be with us. We'd go to the Oakley poker runs. And Dave would be there, and I'd always see David. But something always in my heart said, that guy's going to get saved. He's coming to God. And he had a mother that knew how to pray. She knew how to pray. How old was she when she passed away, Dave? 96. 97. Anyway, Dave had a praying mother. So when he had told me that a long time ago, I thought, he's dead in the water. When mama prays, there's just no getting away. You just ain't going to get away that easy. So what it does is it just never gives up. Love never gives up. It just keeps on believing the best. It's one of those that believes that something will turn out for the very best in their lives. In the light of this, if you really look at this, the phrase could actually be taken to mean that love believes the best in every situation. It believes the best in every situation. That doesn't mean that love is foolishly naive and stupid and blind. That's not what I'm saying. It sees everything. It sees the good, the bad, and the ugly. But because agape is so filled with faith, it pushes the upsetting, disturbing, negative realities right out of the way. It looks beyond the person and sees something deeper that God's seen in us. See, David was a shepherd boy. God didn't see a shepherd boy, he saw a king. His brother saw a little scrunt shepherd boy. And they just gave him a hard time. What are you doing here? You know, when they were fighting the Philistines and the giant. But God saw a shepherd boy. Out of all the brothers that were lined up, you know, standing in line to be anointed, Samuel just kept walking by all of them. You got any more? Well, I got another one. Poor David. I mean, the dad goes, yeah, I got another one. He's out in the field tending sheep. Well, bring him in. So he brings him and said, this is the king right here. And dumps a whole flask of oil. The other ones had a little thing dumped on him, but he had a whole flask of oil dumped on him. So what we see here is that no matter what, God sees beyond what we see. That's his love. Isn't that awesome? God saw in each and every one of us a king. He saw a king. He didn't see us. He didn't see our faults. He didn't see our shortcomings. He saw us as kings and priests and prophets of his kingdom. Totally different what we see ourselves. Totally different. He's seen something totally different. It doesn't mean that love ignores problems or challenges. It just makes a choice to see beyond the problems and conflicts, to strain forward to see the highest potential that resides in every person. It looks for the best in people. Sometimes that could be hard, but it looks for the best. It looks for the best. Sometimes you have to ask the Holy Spirit, show me, Lord, show me. See, love simply cannot give up believing that our children or people in general, that they will turn around. It believes that they're going to turn around. We're in a time, people, believe for your children. Believe for your children. They're coming back into the kingdom. They're coming in. Love provides the determination to put up with all things, to maintain our own attitude in the light of grumpiness and the attitude of others. Do we strain forward to believe the best, or do we pick people apart and point out their flaws and their weaknesses? Do we see their potential through the eyes of love, or do we look on them through the eyes of criticism? Never forget that love believes the best. Let's go on to the next one. Love hopes all things.
Ooh, that's good, Lorraine.
Now, the word for hopes is the word elpizo, which depicts not only a hope, but an expectation of good things. Amen? Philippians 1:20 says this, I eagerly expect and hope, this is Paul talking, I eagerly expect and hope that I will have nothing to be ashamed of. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Is this something we can say to ourselves? I don't have anything to be ashamed of. And we shouldn't. As Christians, because love is so strong that love hopes all things. Paul believed this about himself, and we need to believe this about ourselves and pray it for other people. Pray it for other people. This means that rather than assuming failure or bad result in someone's life, the agape love of God always expects the best in someone else. It's kind of the same we talked about before, but expects the best. I expect the best out of you. God expects the best out of us. And it sees beyond other things and expects the best of someone else. It not only expects it, people, but it is filled with an anticipation to see the manifestation of the thing hoped for. It goes beyond and it looks and it says, one day I know in my spirit that you're going to be what God called you to be. We need to speak this to our children, our grandchildren. Instead of always picking apart what they're not doing, we get into that and we pick apart what you're not doing, what you're not doing. We need to start focusing on how God sees them. That doesn't mean that you don't bring correction. That's not what I'm saying. But we could do a lot more by seeing the expectation in their lives that God sees. Wow. It not only expects it, but it is filled with the anticipation, like I said, to see the manifestation of what we're hoping for in that person's life. The optimism of love is what it's called. It's having the attitude that everything is going to come out positive, favorable, or desirable. Love never takes failure as defeat. It doesn't do it. Hope keeps the faith because love believes that there is more in front of us than this present moment. It sees in the future when we see the now. The character of the God we love is before us. It focuses on Him. All things, no matter what they involve, will not have the last word because it expects way beyond what we could ever believe. Amen? Now let's look at the last one. Love endures all things. Endures all things. Endures means hoopamino. I have no clue. I just like to say that. It depicts the attitude of a person who is under a heavy load but refuses to surrender to defeat. That's what that word means. Endures means to refuse to surrender to defeat. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to see this thing through. I'm going to expect this thing to happen. I'm not giving up. Because this person knows he or she is where they're supposed to be. He or she has therefore decided that regardless of what tries to come against them, they're going to stay put and they refuse to move. It's sad when things get tough, people bail. Stick it out. Look beyond the faults and criticisms. See what God sees. See the future. Because it's bigger than our present. Amen? I don't care what it looks around right now in your situation. Your future is way better. Even tomorrow's better. Tomorrow's a new day. It's a new day. 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I am ready to persevere and stand my ground with patience and endure some things. Is that what it says? No, endure everything. For the sake of the elect God chose, so that they too may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with the reward of eternal glory. This is Paul speaking. Look what he's doing. If we would look out for each other the way Paul spoke here and protect each other the way I guarantee you the enemy ain't going to split anybody up. Amen? He said, I'm ready to persevere and stand my ground with patience and endure everything for the sake of somebody else. For the sake of the church, the body of Christ. For the whole body of Christ. See, we get focused on self. We get focused on us that we forget about everybody else that belongs in the body of Christ. True love does not focus on self. It focused beyond that on the needs of other people. No matter what. It's way beyond us. It's God. It has to be God. Amen? It's got to be God's love. It's got to be His agape love. It's got to be Him. Because in our own selves, sometimes it just doesn't work the way we think it should. Amen? Love has the wind for a marathon. It has the wind for a marathon. It will not quit. Love will outlast all things to the other side. Love remains strong through testing. There is nothing stronger than the love of Jesus. Sometimes as individuals, we suffer terrible wrongs. We inflict them even on ourselves. But people, we doubt and can feel like we are at our end sometimes. We sometimes feel like I've gone, so I don't know if I can go anymore. But Paul writes to the community of people in Corinthians, and this is what he says. We strengthen a person when he or she struggles, when they're down. He or she strengthens us when we struggle. With the same comfort that God gave us, we comfort other people when they're down. They might be different than us, but God doesn't see it that way. Jesus works in the community into this strong love. He works His love into the community of people. He just works it in there. This means agape love never quits or throws in the towel. It simply doesn't know how to quit. Real love says this, I'm committed to be here, to stay with you, and to work it out regardless of the cost or the time involved. I'm not quitting. I'm here to stay. That's God's love. It doesn't quit. It doesn't quit. It just keeps going. It isn't about I or me. It's something that's beyond that. If we could get the Holy Spirit to let us see that it's more than just us. But it's God's dream. It's His vision. It's everything that He desires for us to accomplish in His kingdom. See, people see bikers. I see souls. Come on. I've been razzed through the years. Why do you do that? Other preachers have said to me, why do you do that? I suppose I should go start one of these or these so I can have this ministry. I said, they're people. They have souls. I have a soul. You have a soul. They just cover it with leather. They're people. Well, why do we have to do this? I don't want to do this. Well, God told us to do it. You want to answer to somebody? Answer to him. Why? Because he loves people. No matter what background, group, it doesn't matter. He loves people. See, the Bible says it means that love endures all things. This kind of love is completely contrary to the flesh. My flesh says this, I've done all I'm going to do. I'm not wasting any more of my life. I'm finished and I'm leaving. That's what our flesh says. And you know what? We've all been there. Come on. We've been there. I've been there more than you have. But I got a wife that reminds me. See, the Holy Spirit just sits her on me. You talk to him. Well, honey, you can't quit. Why not? Because God didn't say you could. Oh, keep quiet. Candy's right. And then when she does it, I go to her and I go, you can't either. You can't either. You suck it up, kid. You can do it. When you challenge each other that you keep the faith, you just keep doing. You know what? It's because only love has this kind of all things, bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things, enduring all things, that our sermons, our doctrine, our faith and sacrifice won't offer enough for what some people must face. Only these good things in surrender to the love of Christ are sufficient enough because of the love of Jesus. And I'm closing with this. As you look into the mirror of God's word and examine the characteristics of agape love we talked about, can you actually say this kind of love is operating in your life? I'm in this with you. Can I actually say, is that really operating in your life? God, we pray and we hope that more of it operates in our life. How many know we have our days? Sometimes you can. Sometimes it'll hit you, but it's what, how you respond to it. How do you react to it? How do you respond to it? You can respond in the way God wants us to respond, or we can just let the flesh have what the flesh wants. What others say to you and I, that we've been a roof for them, protecting, covering, concealing, and guarding them during the hard and difficult seasons of their life. What others say that you and I believe the best about people, or you tend to say you believe the best about people, or that you tend to be nitpicky and critical of others. Think about that. Have you made the decision to stick it out regardless of how long it takes? I want to encourage you this morning, people, to do the right thing by determining to learn to operate in this high level of God's love. Not this, but God's love. I'm not saying you're not going to fail at it. I'm just saying to go for it. To do beyond what your flesh has always told you to do and say, you know what? I'm not going down this road with these people. I'm not doing this. I'm standing on a higher road, and I'm going to believe God for his love. I want to do that. I really do, because sometimes we throw so many blankets on inside of ourselves, some things we go through that sometimes we wonder if we can love. But we can, because the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad by the Holy Spirit. It's already in here. You know how you release that? You go do it. Well, I'm just waiting for God's love to just hit me hard, and then when it hits me, I'm going to go love somebody. It doesn't work that way. When you step out and say, Lord, your love is in my heart, I'm going to step out in love towards this person or this situation or that situation. I'm going to step out and I'm going to just love them the way you loved me. And I'm telling you, when you step out, love will follow. It will start to grow. It'll start to be there. It'll start coming like you've never dreamed before. You know what? Divine love is already in our hearts, like I said, by the Holy Spirit. And it's up to you and I to open up our heart and let this divine river of love flow forth from you to others. Are we going to open up our hearts and let God's love spill out to those around us? Or are we going to keep it in? You know what? The choice is ours. What we do with that love, the choice is ours. But I want to challenge you next week, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, but the Sunday after, I'm going to do some more love words. We'll talk about that. But I want to challenge you that this is what we need to ask the Holy Spirit. I need your love. I need your love in this situation because I'm allowing my flesh and my emotions to dictate how I'm going to respond. So, Holy Spirit, I need your help. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will be there. It'll be there. It'll show up. Getting into His Word and reading His Word and getting His Word into you is another way to let that love begin to flow in your life. But I want to challenge you that all these things that Paul talked about isn't something in a dream that might happen, but it is happening. It's in here. It's already in there. Just got to let it out and release it through the power of God. Amen? Got to let it out and release it to the power of God. David, come on up here. I want you to share. This is a part of what I've been talking about that let us know what God's doing. And God bless you.
Well, let me tell you something here. Praise the Lord for this man right here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for his anointing. Thank you, Lord, for putting him in this position that he can just give us this word. What an awesome, strong, powerful message this morning. Is this working well?
Yes.
You're hearing me all right? Thank you, Jesus.
Woo!
Folks, I want to just tell you, there's some beautiful people right there. I love you guys. Some of you might remember me. I was around here for a while back, and God called me away. My brother, he called me to North Carolina. So I live down there in the South now, and it's warm. But anyway, I don't know for sure yet what it was all about, but I'm still there, and I've helped be a part of a lot of souls being saved to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, what's more important than that? I come back. I have my lovely daughter, my grandchildren here today, and I love to come home. I love to come here when I come home every time. I mean, this was going to be my home until God changed my lifestyle. He changed me completely. But it didn't happen until I gave my life to the Lord and accepted Him 100%. And when that baptism of the Holy Spirit came into me, praise the Lord. I mean, and you were there. It was you and I. And we spoke in the tongues for so. I finally had to say, I got to take a break. The Spirit was overwhelming me. Can you know what I'm saying? Like it almost was hurting. It was so joyous, so powerful. So anyway, it's just been a growing situation. I have never stopped growing in the Lord. I mean, every day of my life. Isn't that right, sweetheart? I mean, I'm growing from the joy I share with other people to a joy that I share only that I know. That's when you spring in tongues and you're speaking to the Spirit of God. It's so powerful, it just doesn't ever leave you. And to come in here, and I feel the Spirit of the Lord, I just love all you people. I only know about five or six of you. So, you know, but you're Christians. This sermon tonight, today, based on love, let me tell you, when I was not living for the Lord, I didn't even understand love. Love was, oh, I love my dog, I love to hunt, I love to ride my Harley, I love this and I love that. Well, now I know what love is. Love has changed me 100%. I used to say, how do you love God? How do you love a God? Well, that was before the salvation of the Lord hit me. I mean, when he hit me, he showed me what love is. It was awesome. And now I just love everybody. I mean, you know, I don't have any of that carnal nature in me anymore. My flesh is eaten up by the Spirit of God. You know, that's the good part. And I'm not carnally involved with the world anymore. I don't care about stuff. You ought to see my garage. I got more stuff than any man's supposed to have. You know what I mean? But I don't care anymore. That means nothing to me. Nothing. There isn't anything I own, including my Harley, that I wouldn't give up for the Lord's work if that was called my way, whatever. I believe I'm called to work in the ministry of biking. But I'm also open for any other. You know what I mean? There is no. I'm all about pleasing God. And I want to thank you for being. I think that God has just really anointed you, Audie. I've listened to a lot of ministers since the 7 years ago that I stood here and said goodbye after you baptized me. You're a strong man of God. You people can appreciate it and thank that. Every time we talk, and which is a fair amount of time for as busy as we both are, we both get so blessed from talking to each other. It's unreal, isn't it? That's what God does. We can sense that deep, deep salvation that you have. You can tell it in me, and I can tell it in you. It's good for both of us. It's good for all of us. So for those of you, by the way, that were asked for healing today, praise the Lord. Thank God for it. We serve a healing God. We serve a healing God. Every time, I mean, my life, I could stand here and tell you were so tired you'd want to go home and tell you about all the joy that I've shared with healing people. God has anointed me with healing power. It isn't the power in me, it's the power in God, and I know how to give it to you. I know how to present his love to you and have you accept it. And that's awesome. That is an awesome, awesome thing. And I know that we're running out of time here, and I just want to thank you all for putting up with me for a few minutes. But I look forward to coming here, and I think I'll be here for your bike week, even though I couldn't get my bike down here because of the weather. And I guess God didn't want me to bring it because I didn't bring it. If it was warm enough, I'd have been riding it. But anyway, I just want to thank. I'd like to just say a prayer over your church. Father, we just thank you from the bottom of our hearts for this man and this church and his wife, the people that are involved in serving here. I understand there's been some issues, but let me tell you, these folks that are here are hungry for you, Lord, and we just thank you. We thank you for all that you're doing here. I feel that spirit is in this room today, and that doesn't come without love. And this song, this ministry today was powerful. That's a powerful man, and I just want all you people to realize that you're under good hands here, and just continue to give your love to the Lord, your life to the Lord. And just trust in him. Trust is the key. And what you know, that's the answer to all things that we do, is just trust in God. And we'll just thank you, Lord. And we know that you're going to do these things and continue to bless this church, continue to let it grow and enjoy it. And we'll just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.